superintendent of education of the Picayune schools down, well, no, not the Picayune, the Pearl River County schools, and he was going to bring in meditation, a time of meditation for the schools. And he was a Yankee, and nobody liked him anyway. And he came down, and he was going to introduce this. I went to the school board meeting the night that they were going to introduce that, and he was going to try to get it introduced into the schools of meditation, a time of transcendental meditation, of reaching deep within ourselves and drawing out from within us that inner strength and that inner good. And that's all kids need, is time to find that inner goodness. But the digger you dig, let me try that again. The deeper you dig, you all got me all messed up. The deeper you dig in your heart, what do you find? More sin. More corruption. More wrong. Before I get to the things that just want to deal with, let's before we get too involved in all of that, they said in verse 10, God called unto him, verse 10, and I heard the voice in the garden, Adam said, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? How did you know? Who told you? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Did God have to ask that question to know the answer? What was he trying to do? He's trying to get Adam to admit he's wrong. Can man get help before he admits he's wrong? Can man be helped before he admits he's wrong? Sorry if you shake your head. It helped me a whole lot. It won't take me as long to get through it if I know you're getting the point. What's the first step in getting help? Admitting you got a problem. You got to admit that you have a problem. So what is our nature? Though our nature is to say, I don't have a problem. How are you doing?
Fine.
Everything all right? Husbands and wives, we ask ourselves, what's wrong with you? Something's wrong.
Does it?
Everything all right?
Yeah.
You don't act right. Something's wrong. What's eating on you? Nothing. Just leave me alone. It's our nature to not want anybody to know anything's wrong. We don't want anybody to see any flaw. We don't want anybody to think anything is wrong with us. Isn't that right? That's our nature. So God comes to Adam and he said, Adam, what have you done? Did you eat of the tree?
He gave a classic answer. The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave to me of the tree, and I did eat. What did he do? He transferred the blame.
He tried to say, it's not my fault. That's a classic answer today, especially, and it's not a new answer. It's not just something for the younger generation. It's not just for our society. It's been for mankind all down through time. I didn't do it. I didn't have anything to do with it. It's not my fault. Today, everything that we look at, it's not people's fault, Brother Richard. Everything that comes up, well, it's not their fault. We'll look at that a little deeper in just a few minutes, and I feel like we'll get through tonight, but we need to stop and understand that this man did what me and you do. It's not my fault. The best thing me and you can do tonight is come to the place that we would stand face to face with who and what we really are. And lay the blame where the blame needs to be laid. He said, the woman. Now, wait a minute. Was Adam deceived? I'm going to deal with something I can't answer here in just a minute. Was Adam deceived? Paul said Adam was not deceived. He said that Eve was deceived, but Adam was not deceived. So why did Adam partake of the fruit? But Joe, he knew what he was doing. If he was not deceived, then he knew what he was doing. Why did he do it?
Why did he? If you drop down in the reading just a minute, I want you to notice verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Ladies and this is no reflection on you, but he listened to somebody other than the Lord.
He let somebody else other than the Lord influence him. He knew what he was doing. He knew. Didn't he know that it was wrong? Oh, he knew that it was wrong, and he knew what it would cost him.
And I can't tell you why he did it. But the Bible just says that he listened to his wife, he hearkened to the voice of his wife, and he partook of it. It was not something he was tricked. It was not something he was fooled. And this is the point a lot of times I feel like we missed. He willfully and consciously chose to eat the fruit. Now get that, let that soak in. He willfully and he consciously chose that. So he chose his own destiny. He chose his own doom and condemnation. He went into it knowing what it was going to do to him. And of course it goes on down and he blames his wife. And verse 13, the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? The woman said, the serpent beguiled me and I did eat. The Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. But when the blame really came down to the fall of humanity, where did it lie? On the man. The blame lay upon the man. In verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Sometimes you want to study 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. There's something that will help with that. Let me read it to you very quickly. I didn't intend to read it, but let me just read this to you. I like to give this to women because, to me, it's a great blessing. It's a great promise to women, and I want you to hear it. Chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, verse 14 and 15. 1 Timothy 2, 14 and 15. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. That's an important verse for ladies. That godliness and holiness and staying close to the Lord pays off in a lot of different ways. Even in human worldly ways, it pays off. It pays great dividends. But there's problems that we're going to be. He said that I greatly multiply thy sorrow. Women, you wonder why you're so moody. Blame Eve. You wonder why sometimes you just cry and don't know why you're crying. Blame Eve. Listen, these are things we try to explain all these things, and we try to say why all these things are. It goes back to the fall of man, doesn't it? You really got stiff-necked on me then. We want a medical explanation for everything. We want to be able to... I was in the hospital today. A man said, well, I'm getting forgetful. I need to take a pill to try to fix that. We want a pill for everything. What is our problem? Sin is our problem. We need to see that. The man, he said in verse 17, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I command thee, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. It's hard to grow a garden for keeping the weeds out, isn't it? All the things are getting worse. How many of y'all growing up had to worm and vaccinate your animals regularly? Daddy always said they just gave them a chew of tobacco and let them go. I mean, you can't hardly grow a garden today without spraying it and dusting it and everything else. What's the reason for all that? Sin. Blights. Diseases. It's even affected plant life, hasn't it? It's affected animal life. Why? Because of the sin of man. And the Lord said, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. and the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread till thou return into the ground. For out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. We looked at that. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. The Lord God said, behold, man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. This is something always used to really, not bother me, confuse me. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Why did God do that? You know, God did us a favor. How would you like to live forever just like you are? How would you like to live forever sinful? Brother Richard, I don't want to live forever like I am. If man would have taken of the tree of life, he could have lived forever, but he'd have lived forever in a sinful body, wouldn't he? He'd have lived forever with a sinful nature. Boy, wouldn't have been much heaven to that, wouldn't he? He said, we've got to get him out of here. He can't touch that. He can't eat of that. He can't have that. So Jesus Christ became our eternal life, didn't he? And why did he raise again the third day? So we could have a new body and wouldn't have to live in with a sinful nature forever. So we could have a new body that we could live forever perfect and entire and complete. But if man would have eaten of the tree of life here, he'll live forever in a sinful nature with a sinful body. It's something that this beyond God did us a big favor when he kicked Adam and Eve out of the garden. Let's go to chapter 4, and I want to look at this. This is where I want to get down to some things that I want you to look at for just a few minutes. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. She again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Why did he do that?
Now this is where I want us to get kind of nitpicky, and I want us to get down to the specifics, because we've got to. We're fixing to find out who we are and what we all are. Why did he kill his brother?
Well, there's a couple of things took place here. We know it was envy and jealousy. But in verse 8, Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against his brother and slew him. Why did he do that? Verse 5, but unto Cain his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth. What does that mean? He was mad. He was angry. Who'd he take it out on?
Your brother. Y'all ever do that? Some of you are too proud to admit it. We all do that, don't we? You men ever come home tired? You're tired and wore out, and you walk in, and the wife's got something for you to do? You walk in and you say to your wife, what you been doing all day? You just ought not to have said that. It's not that you got a problem with each other. They just happened to be there at the time, didn't they? You take it out on them. Is it their problem or yours? Well, y'all don't have a problem, do you? Whose problem is it? It's yours. Boy, we don't like to admit that, do we? We don't want to admit that. I'm the one with the problem. Listen, Adam did the same thing. He didn't want to admit it. It's my wife who gave him. Y'all know how I can tell when I'm getting away from God? Brother Richard, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. One way that I can know when I'm getting away from the Lord. Nobody else can do anything right but me. I mean, nobody else can do anything right, Brother Harold. I'm going to tell you, you can't look right, you can't dress right, you can't even talk right. Is the problem you? No, the problem is me, isn't it? It's me. It's my I'm doing that's got the problem. Cain killed Abel. He got angry. He was jealous. And listen, that anger and that jealousy. Why did he kill him? Now this is, y'all give me a minute now. Don't jump me yet. Give me a minute. Was it the music he was listening to? I told you, give me a minute. Well, I told him, was it the friends he was hanging around? Didn't have any, did he? Was it the video games he was playing? Well, this is what we blame everything on today, isn't it? Must have been a drug he was taking. He bound to have been drunk. Drugs had to be involved. Isn't it what we say? Whose fault was it? It's Cain's fault. We can't blame anything. You can't look at this situation. You see, that's what we do in our day. We evaluate everything. We philosophize everything. I'm not trying to be ugly, but listen, let's get off of that. And let's look at what the real trouble is. What's the trouble? We're the trouble. It's us. One of the best little stories dealing with this that I've ever heard. There was a woman that was married to a man, and he loved to hunt. And I mean, he never more loved it. This might hit pretty close to home with some shooting. And I enjoy it too, if you want to know the truth of it. But anyway, they got a divorce, and she decided that she was going to raise her son, that he was going to be in touch with his feminine side. He was not going to grow up and enjoy all that. And so, and listen, she was going to raise him to be a gentleman. She was going to raise him to be a proper child. She wasn't going to let him be a boy. So she said that he's going to learn to be what his daddy wasn't. So she bought him Barbie doll. Nothing wrong with boys playing with dolls, by the way. And she bought him a dollhouse. She wanted him to understand the feminine side of life. One day the mama walked in. Had them all laid out and lipstick all over them. She said, "What in the world is going on?" She said, "One of them shot the other one. He's bleeding. He's dying." Where'd he learn that? Must have saw it on the movie, huh? Comes natural. Do you have to teach a kid to go, kow, kow, kow? Or does that just come natural? Do you have to teach a child to lie? They come forth from the womb speaking lies, don't they? That's the Bible. Children are product of their environment, though, aren't they? I'm being facetious. You say, "Brother Joe, everything that, oh, sure, it has an effect on them." But see, it affects their human nature that they already have. Children are not a product of their environment. They are a product of their inheritance. Let me ask you a question. If you could take a child and bring it into the world, and you could put it in a perfect environment, you never let them listen to the radio, you never let them watch TV, you never let them read a book about violence, you never expose them to wrong of any kind, and all of a sudden one day you let that child go, would that child be perfect? Don't answer me. Would that child be perfect? Why wouldn't he be? He's raised in the perfect environment. Sir? He's born a sinner. It's in Matthew chapter 15.
Matthew chapter 15. You see, today we're so concerned about the things outside of us, and we don't take heed to the things that are inside of us,
which is the most important. And Jesus tried to get that across to the Pharisees. They were worried about the things that they were putting into their body. They were worried about the things they were eating. They were worried about the things that they were exposing themselves to. And look, I'm not telling you, listen, the wrong kind of music and the wrong kind of video games, the wrong kind of friends are a bad influence. I preach against that, and I preach against it, but that's not the point tonight. The point is this. Listen to him very carefully. Verse 16, Matthew chapter 15, verse 16. Are ye also yet without understanding? Do ye yet not yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draw? God said it really doesn't matter. It all goes to the same place. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. And they defile the man. Now what comes out of the heart? Verse 19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. You see what Jesus is telling them? Man, what defiles you is what's inside of you. Everybody is born with the potential to do anything anybody else can do. Y'all believe that? Y'all look around at each other. What's the scripture say? Brother Mike, I can do anything any other man can do. Brother Richard, you can do anything anybody else can do. You've got the potential in you. Don't you? I got tickled one day, and I know that I understand the man's point, but it was kind of funny the way he said it and the way it all turned out. He said, I'm going to tell you all, there's one thing that I just can't stand. He said, I can't stand a liar. Hello? How many of y'all never told a lie? Raise your hand. Never told a lie? You better put your hand down. You just lied. Everybody has. Everybody has. It's in your heart anyway, isn't it? It's in your heart. Turn to James. Now listen to James just a minute. Does temptation come from Satan? Be careful before you answer that. Does temptation come from the devil? Let me ask you all a question before I read this. James chapter 1. What if the devil all of a sudden ceased to exist? What if all of a sudden there was no more devil? There's no more Satan? Would man still be sinful? Would man still do wrong? We give him too much credit. James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. James 1, 13. Now listen. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his what? Of his what? His own lust. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. Who's ultimately responsible? We are. I'm tempted by what? By my own lust. It's there. It's in me. If you believe in the depravity of man, if you want to say, oh, preacher, I believe that we're all depraved, that we're all sinners, you got to understand it's in you. It's in my children. I'm going to tell you what, I love my children with all my heart, but they are sinners to the core. I don't want them to believe any other thing. Listen, Mama can tell them they're sweet and they're lovely and they're adorable. And if you listen to her, us boys never did anything wrong. We're all just so perfect, but we are rotten to the core. These little children you have sitting around here, I'm going to tell you what they are. They're bad news. had a mother tell me one time, she said, "Brother Joe, I'll tell you what we need to do with these teenagers. We need to trust them more." I said, "Why? Did you forget when you were a teenager? Would you trust yourself?" "Oh, no, sir." Do we need to trust each other? What do we need to trust in? You better trust in the Lord. You better not trust in yourself. Amen. Not only will others let you down, you'll let yourself down. Amen. We're sinners. We're bad. We're rotten to the core. And you can't do one thing about it. Only God can. Only God can help us. Only God can bring us to the point that we can have some help. Romans chapter 3. Let's get through some of these verses real quick. And I spent too much time trying to introduce it, trying to get it started. Listen to Romans chapter 3. You know, I'll try to make up to these men now for just a second. Are women better than men? Are men better than women? Men are not better than women. We're just as bad as they are. You say, "Why'd you say that?" Well, I'm going to read it to you. Verse 9. Romans chapter 3, verse 9. "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they're all under sin." Is one race any worse or better than the other race? You know what blacks' problem is? Same problem you got. Sin. You know what them bunch of crazy Muslims, you know what those people's problem is? Sin. Got the same problem you got. Don't they? Does it take more grace to save one of them than it does me or you? Takes the same amount of grace, doesn't it? We've all got the same problem. We're all under the same condemnation. You say, "But preacher, their way, they're different than we are. They're different, but we're all under sin. We all have got a problem." And he said, he concluded that they're all under sin, as it is written, "There's none righteous, no, not one." The only reason I want to get that point across, you know, we look at people and we look down our nose at other people. And Paul was trying to tell them that, look, Jews are no better than the Gentiles. And Gentiles are no better than the Jews. They've all got the same problem. It's sin. You say, "Preacher, it's genetics. It's DNA." I like that. I'm going to tell you that. It's pretty interesting. But I'm going to tell you, I'm hearing that blamed on too much today. Well, the reason he's the way he is, it's genetics. I'm going to pick on you just a minute. The other day, I was sitting at the table, and there was a young man, really didn't know me and my wife, and we were sitting there, and he began to talk about some of his kin people, and he said, "You know," he said, "my mama was a broom. And you have never heard anybody, Brother Jacob, talk about brooms like he did. He didn't have a lot of good things to say about him either." He said, "What are you grinning at?" And he looked at me. I said, "My wife's a broom." He said, "You got to be kidding." He started apologizing. I said, "Don't apologize. You already said it now." Let me tell you one, it's a bad combination. My children have Lot and birds and prime and broom in them. God help them. They got some bad genes, don't they? But is that their trouble or is it sin? Is it DNA or is it S-I-N? What is it? Sin. I'd like to blame everything on them old peculiar lots, you know. Houses. But it all goes back to Adam, don't it? It's sin. That's what our problem is. It's sin. We need to see that. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. Let me get these couple of things, and we'll stop here. I want to get back to Cain and Abel, and
lead us up into the flood, and we're just not going to get there tonight.
I don't want anybody to take anything wrong with fixing to say in any way, rehab units have their place.
But can you rehab sin? You can't rehabilitate sin, can you? 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. But it has happened of them, 2 Peter 2, 22, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. My children were around the house one day. We got a little dog, and he did what dogs do. He threw up and ate it. I hate to say that after we had a good supper. And the children said, "Help, sir, why'd you do that?" I said, "He's a dog. It's what dogs do."
You can take and you can show these cows and you can show these hogs, and you know, it just aggravated me to death. We had horses, you could rub the horses down, you could get them all curried, you could get them all brushed down, you could get them all shined up, and turn them loose. What's the first thing they're going to do? Go roll in the dirt. Why'd they do that? Because he's a horse. Of course. Listen. You turn a hog loose, where they want to go? It's their nature. We got a nature too, don't we? Amen. We say, why do people do that today? Because they're people. You get the point? Why do people act like they're acting? Because they're people. Why do they do that? What's their nature? They can't help it. Only the Lord can help it. God's grace can help it. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You don't know about the bipolar deal. I'm not a psychologist by any means. I remember one time, I mentioned this one time, Brother Richard, the church that I was preaching at, and I said that all of God's people are bipolar. And I never got such looks in my life. I got through and I learned why. One of the ladies, she said, "Brother Joe, you know why nobody said anything? You know why everybody just sat there?" She said, "Because we got a lot of folks in this church with mental trouble." I said, "I'm sorry." Galatians chapter 5. But it's still the truth. All God's people are bipolar, aren't we? Aren't we? I'm having to say this lightheartedly because it didn't. Y'all get mad at me. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. It's not fun to see yourself now. It's not fun to look at ourselves. It's fun to pick on everybody else, but it's not fun to look in the mirror. Galatians 5, 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. What is bipolar? What is she? I'm going to tell you, that woman, she's got two different natures. She's one thing one minute, another thing another minute. We all are. Well, I tell you, that man, you can't ever tell. He wakes up in a new world every day. He's like a goose. You don't know what it's going to be. We all that way. Brother Harold, you that way too. We've got two natures in us. Amen. The little Indian boy went to his chief one time, or went to his pastor one time. He said, "Pastor," he said, "I don't know what's wrong with me." He said, it's like there's two dogs fighting inside of me. And the pastor said, "Which one wins?" He said, "Well, whichever one I feed the most." You know, it's the same way with me and you. These two natures, about if you're a child of God, these two are you. There's a spiritual you and there's a natural you. Can a child of God sin? What all can a child of God do? Say that a little louder. Anything. Y'all believe that? What was Noah guilty of? I hate to do this. But let's do it. What did Noah do? Amen. Sir? He got drunk. What did Moses do? Sir? He didn't only get mad. What did he do to that Egyptian?
cold-blooded murder. What'd Lot do? I don't even like to talk about this one. I'm sorry. It makes me feel real uncomfortable. Incest. Had children by his own daughters. What'd David do? Adultery. He had her husband killed. Gave the order to have it done. He lied to cover up his own sin. What'd Peter do? He cursed and denied he even knew the Lord. And probably every one of these men, with the exception of Lot, are closer to God than many you'll ever be at times in their life. You let yourself get away from God, and there's no limit to what you'll do.
Amen.
I sat in the Sunday school room one day with a man, and somebody said, "I'll tell you one thing, I'd never cheat on my wife." And another man looked at him just as calm and cold as he could. And he said, "You've never been in the right situation at the right time." Before I had children, I stood in the pulpit one day and I said what my children would do and would not do. I was met by a lady before I got to the back door. She said, "Famous last words of a fool. Don't you ever say what you won't do."
Amen.
I tell this, I'm not good at telling a lot of stories. I've got a church member that his children are about grown now, but when they were just young, teenagers, he bought them a motorcycle. On the motorcycle, it had a sticker, "No fear." Y'all seen that. Some redneck come along and made one said, "Ain't scared, you know. No fear." He said, "Brother Joe, the first thing I did was took the sticker off of it." He said, "If they ever get to the point where they're not scared of it, not afraid that it can hurt them, they'll get hurt." My point in saying that is this, Brother Richard, if we ever get to the point that we're not scared of ourselves, we're in trouble. How many times has a family dog been in the family for years mauled a child? You know why he did that? He's a dog. Y'all ever been kicked by a horse? You ever been thrown? Thrown. Why'd he do it? He's a horse. You have to respect them for what they are. I mean, you have to respect ourselves, fear ourselves, not respect, but fear, because we're sinners. And I'm going to tell you, we're growing a generation who feels like they don't need God. That they can be God and they can attain perfection and they can bypass Jesus to get to it. That's the same lie that Satan fed to Eve. You don't need Jesus to get to where you want to be. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people in our world trying to do it today. But we're sinners, friend, and we don't need to forget it. If you're saved, you still need to see you got a nature about you. If you're lost, the only help you'll ever have is the Lord Jesus Christ. You trust Him. Brother Richard.
Amen. Well, we thank the Lord for the good teaching. Would there be any word or announcement before we dismiss? Not, Brother Joe, come lead us a song.
Four 427.